This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Welcome to our AWLS podcast series. We always want to remind you to go to wildmedu.org to look at the programs and the courses that you can study to learn about wilderness medicine and be safe in the backcountry. We're doing something brand new today, and that is we're going to talk about horses. Now, what's interesting about that is when you think about backcountry, you think the sports of climbing and biking and skiing and snowboarding and trekking. A few people think about horses, although horses is a very great way to get into the backcountry. And in fact, spending time in the backcountry with a horse can be a transcendent experience. So today we are going to talk about safety with horses and what happens if you get into trouble. We have an equestrian with us, Christopher Rich, from Salt Lake City, Utah, in the United States of America. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me. I grew up riding horses in the Wasatch Mountains of the western United States. I've grown to love horses and horseback riding. They are magnificent animals with a lot of power and have the capabilities to do a lot of things. But when taking a backcountry ride, there are some things that you want to be cautious about.
Well, one of those things that first comes to mind, Chris, to me, is that a horse can take you a long, long way, farther than a bike maybe, and maybe farther than if you walk in a day or something like that. If you have a pack on a horse, how far can you go?
With a pack on the horse, I'd say you can go up to 50 miles or 80 kilometers.
Is that hard on a horse?
Yeah, that can be pretty tiring on the horse's body, and you have to definitely be wary of the horse's stamina during that time.
So is that per day? Like, in other words, if you go 80 kilometers, 50 miles in a day, if the horse rests, can you go farther the next day, or do you have to go back?
I would be cautious about going farther just in terms of risk of injury, but if they do have the proper rest, they can continue on for multiple days at a time.
What is the proper rest? What would you say?
Making sure that the horse has plenty of water and food when necessary. Even though the horse might not physically show that it is fatigued, you still have to remember that they are animals and need proper care of by you.
And that means that you have to take the food or go by rivers or streams that has water, or can they eat the flowers and the plants along the trail?
Bringing a few pellets along wouldn't be a bad idea. Horses are able to graze on natural vegetation as well as drink out of the streams and lakes that you might encounter.
Well, that's good to know. I think we kind of understand that. One question I have is this. When I was younger, my older sisters had horses, so I became familiar with them, but it's been a long time. Let's say that I'm planning a trek into the backcountry, and I'm basically a first-time rider. Tell me some of my concerns and things that I need to do to get ready.
Yeah, totally. So one of the first things that you're going to want to do is make sure that you find a reputable horse care or stable that might provide you instructions as well as the proper equipment such as the saddle and bridle. You really want to understand how to use those things, as when you are riding, there may be malfunctions with the equipment and you will be having to remove things such as the saddle and bridle if you are taking rests.
So in other words, I probably should take some lessons before I ventured off with my family or friends on horses. Or would you recommend a guide to go with us?
Yeah, 100%. You would want to start with a guide, someone that is more experienced with horses and will be able to give you instruction on, you know, how to direct the horse, how to lead the horse, how to mount the horse properly.
And the danger of doing that alone would be damage to us and to the horse, or what?
Yeah, I think both. You always run the risk of injury when you're doing things improperly, and then as well as the horse, when you may cause the horse to freak out. It can always fall back on itself or rear up causing injury to the animal.
What else do we do to prepare to prevent injuries?
For yourself, you're going to want to obviously warm up and make sure that your muscles are feeling good, such as common stretches, as well as knowing your limits and understanding how long of a ride that you're going on and bringing the proper food and water with you.
So how much on that, I know we're still talking about preventing injuries, but what is, like how much weight can a horse withstand, in a backpacking trip, humans know how much weight to put on their back if they're strong, and if you take kids, how much weight, but like how much weight can you safely put on a horse? How do we gear that?
So you probably want to take into account the age of the horse and its abilities. I think when you think about your own body and the amount of weight that you can carry, I guess, Rich, what would you say on a backpacking trip is the maximum amount that a human could be able to carry?
Well, I see it depends upon who you are and what you're carrying, but we've seen people carry a lot, maybe even 60 pounds, but typically 30, 40 pounds, something like that.
Okay, yeah, so pretty similar with a horse. You want to, think about, you have the weight of your own body on top of it as well as a pack, and I would probably advise to stay under 100 pounds of gear, but it can be sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on the horse's weight and the age and capabilities of it.
Would it be fair to say then, just like in backpacking yourself, you try to lighten the load to help the horse? And I don't know exactly. I know in backpacking in humans, we try to keep the weight as much as possible over our center of gravity. And on a horse, where do you put the weight mostly?
Yeah, so when you're loading up your saddle, you want to definitely focus on putting majority of the weight on the horse's center of gravity, which is going to be normally right around the horn of your saddle. And so that's going to be like a saddle bag that you can strap across. And then you can also distribute some of the weight behind the saddle. But it's a common mistake to overload in that area because it's not the center of gravity, although it's the easiest access for loading on things.
Chris, tell us some safety things we should do, safety measures, things we should bring if we're taking our horses into the backcountry.
Yeah, so before you get on the horse, there's definitely a few things that you're going to want to make sure that you bring with you. The first and most important item is a helmet. And a helmet is may not be the coolest thing to wear, as you've seen in movies and pictures of cowboys and their cowboy hats, but wearing a helmet is the best way to prevent any head injury that may come from a fall, and it is definitely a requirement for most places that are renting out horses or allowing you to use their horses. Next, you're going to want to make sure that you have your appropriate footwear, and that's one with a low heel, so you can think of a cowboy boot. This will make sure that you stay in the stirrup, as well as make sure that your foot doesn't get caught in case of a fall. And when it gets caught, it can be pretty detrimental to you, as if you do fall off a horse and you're not in that low heel boot, your foot can slip right through the stirrup and it'll act as a trap and you can get dragged behind the horse. And then finally, I'd say that it's nice to have a pair of rugged pants, such as jeans or canvas, that can prevent chafing when riding your horse and rubbing up against the saddle.
What advice do you have about where to go? In other words, what can horses do? And do they go up hills well? Do they do mountains? Tell us a little bit about where we can safely take a horse and problems.
Yeah, so horses are very capable animals, and I'd say you can take them almost anywhere. But depending on your experience, and especially as a beginner, you're going to want to make sure that you ride in a well-maintained area, trail, or even arena as you're learning kind of the ins and outs of how horses work. One thing that many people are unaware of is that a horse can be easily startled when coming across other people's dogs or cars. And so when you're taking a horse out, you definitely want to be cautious of being in those types of areas and maybe coming across, you know, a person walking their dog on a trail or having to cross a street of some sort.
Do they do well with altitude, or is that something they don't do too well with?
With altitude, they definitely fatigue quicker, but horses are pretty exceptional climbers in terms of if you're heading up a mountain on a trail. They do quite well, but you definitely want to make sure to stop for breaks and rest just as you would if you were hiking in the backcountry.
What are common injuries that you see? You mentioned some about getting the heels caught, but what are some of the other ones?
Yeah, so kind of along with that, but just a normal fall off the horse. And falls, it's very common to see head injuries, arm injuries, and chest injuries, just as you think, you know, you're falling off down right towards those areas of the body. There's also can be strains and things that can happen to your body as you're sitting in a not the most comfortable position for a long period of time. And so it's definitely important to pay attention to, you know, how your legs and your back and shoulders and neck are feeling as you take the horse out into the backcountry.
What have been some of the experiences that you've had on horses in the backcountry?
Yeah, so one experience that comes to mind was when we were riding up in the Wasatch Mountains of Utah in the western United States. And we had a group of about seven riders, just some friends. And most of the riders there were intermediate to advanced and have been around horses for most of their life. About 30 minutes into the ride, we noticed that one of the horses was kind of walking funky. They was almost looking like they were prancing. And we did something that we probably shouldn't have. We can decide to keep going and not worry about it because we saw that, you know, it was okay and there wasn't a lot of other distress. After about another 30 minutes and the prancing and kind of, I guess, hobbling got worse, where we really started to notice that there was something wrong. As we went to look down at the horse and check out if there's anything wrong, we found that there was a large cut in the side of the horse's foot, but just right underneath to where you can't see it if you yourself was up mountain on a horse. And from that, we found, you know, the horse was bleeding, and we were kind of in a situation where that we put ourselves in, but we needed to definitely do something about. So we decided to take one of our shirts and wrap the horse's hoof with it and leg, and to make sure that the bleeding was subsidized to the point, you know, where it wasn't just kind of coming out on its own, and make the walk back to where the horses were stabled. And that what could have been a much shorter journey if we would have just stopped initially turned into, you know, a 2-hour walk back because we had to slow the horses down and everyone had to, you know, get off and walk them by the reins just to prevent, you know, any further harm or injury coming to that particular horse. Another story that comes to mind about horse safety in the backcountry and is time that we took some friends out once again, and we were bridling the horses, and we put the bridle on and everything was okay. We had the saddle, equipment was looking all good to go. And we had our friend hop up on the horse, and they had ridden horses before, so we weren't too worried about their ability levels. And we kind of, you know, moved on to the next person and to help them out. And as we started going, just right at the beginning of our ride, our friend's horse started walking backwards frantically and rearing up on its hind legs. Me and my brother, who was there at the time, didn't know exactly what to do, and we tried to, you know, calm the horse down and walk towards it slowly, but the horse kept moving backwards to the point where it reared up and it fell backwards on its rider. Luckily, the rider was able to roll out of the way, but the horse, you know, kind of did a backward somersault and ended up cutting its hind leg and suffering some some minor injuries, luckily, that weren't too detrimental. But overall, it was a lesson to make sure to double check the equipment, even if you've done it 1,000 times and you feel like, you know, you can never make a mistake. It's always good to double check and look. And we found that the reason what happened was that the bridle was twisted, just one turn. That was kind of weird. So it was blocking the horse's eye. And just that one little twist caused so much distress to the horse that it threw itself back, landing on the ground and sustaining an injury.
Well, this is very fascinating, and I've learned so much about horses, and I know that I want to go on a horse. It's it just seems like just a beautiful thing. What are some resources that people can go to and learn and study?
Yeah, so some of the best resources can be found on the United States Pony Clubs, the USPC, and it offers educational materials and safety guidelines for all, as well as it discusses some injuries such as concussions and heat-related problems when riding a horse. You can also go to the American Association of Equine Practitioners, and there's a lot of information on horse care and health, and this can help you understand, you know, the proper techniques and improper techniques for working with horses.
Been very informative podcast and discussion that we've had, and we're grateful that you came, Chris. Is there anything you want to say to sum this up?
Totally, yeah. I would say remember that safety is the most important thing when horseback riding, and learning the proper techniques, respecting the horse's behavior, and just being aware of the potential risks while horseback riding will contribute to a safe and enjoyable experience.
Thank you for coming, Chris. This ends this podcast on horses in the backcountry. And as always, we say thank you for listening.